Well, how about we start with a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the day. Thank you that we can come and spend this time together. Thank you for your word and for the way that you've revealed yourself to us. I pray that we would cherish this and take advantage of it. And Lord, allow your word to transform us and be those servants of the Most High God that please you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Must be getting... Sorry, I've got to move this around a bit more. I've got a sun coming into my eyes. We right now? That's good. Well, we've been looking at the Holy Spirit before I went away on holidays on a Sunday night. I don't expect you to remember anything that we've looked at other than maybe that we have looked at the Holy Spirit, but so far we've only looked at the person of the Holy Spirit and the deity of the Holy Spirit. And so we've established that he is a person, not a force or something like that. He's a real person and he is a part of the Godhead. Tonight we're going to venture out a little bit more and we're going to start looking at the person and work of the Holy Spirit revealed in his name. So we're going to look at various names of the Holy Spirit found in the Old Testament and also the New Testament. And what these names do is explain to us a little bit about what the Holy Spirit is like and what he does for us. And when you're looking at the names of the Lord Jesus, the good news is that you don't have to actually know these things for him to actually do them. You know, thankfully, it isn't a requirement that you must understand what he does for us before he starts doing it. He goes about his work doing these things for us, regardless if we know what he does or not. I was trying to think of a comparison. I know this is a really bad one, but think of your liver, for example. You know, you can think of mine, but think of yours if you want, but... I've been told I have a liver, and I don't actually know what a liver does, but I know it's there, and I know it's important. I know that I'll be sick, I'll probably dead if I don't have one, and I'll be really sick if it's not working properly. But I don't have a clue really how it functions and what it does. But even though I don't know those things, it still goes about doing its work, and I'm very thankful for that. But on the other hand, if I sat and Googled it, which I actually did yesterday, and saw what a liver actually does, then it starts to make you appreciate what you have and be thankful to the Lord for what he's given you and makes you realize how bad life would be if it wasn't working the way that it should. So the more you know about your liver, the more you appreciate it. And you can apply that to the Holy Spirit. He will go about doing his job, his work for us, regardless if we know these things or not. But if you study and find out what he does for us, first of all, it makes you appreciate that the Lord has given us the Holy Spirit. And so you appreciate him more. And also it might help you to acknowledge him in your life more as well and be thankful for what God's doing. And as you start to study the names of the Holy Spirit, there are at least 22 names given to the Holy Spirit. So we're not going to look at all of them, especially tonight, but we will look at a number of them over the next couple of weeks. And this should help us to appreciate that this wonderful gift that God has given us. I was only thinking it is the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we concentrate on the Holy Spirit part, but he is a gift. He is a good gift. And there are many blessings because that God has given us him to us. Now, the first name that I want to look at is the most basic, and that is the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is referred to in many ways. You know, we have the Spirit and then words tacked onto it where it's used in conjunction with other names to describe what he's like. But the most basic name is the Spirit. And in the Old Testament, the Hebrew, and also the Greek, the literal meaning of the word is to breath or wind. And so this gives us a very simple understanding of what he is like. And the best person to teach us about the Spirit would be the Lord Jesus himself. And thankfully, when he was talking to Nicodemus, Jesus compares the Holy Spirit with wind and explains to him in a very simple way some of the things about the Holy Spirit. And these are things for us would be good for us to acknowledge as well. Now I'm going to read those verses that are up there. You can turn there in your Bible if you wish. But it's good to take note that the word, the Greek word spirit and wind is the same Greek word. And so the interpreters, the translators, they translate it spirit or wind depending on the context, if it's referring to the literal wind or the literal Holy Spirit. That same Greek word. So we read there in verse 6, this is Jesus speaking, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whence it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Now, some pretty basic things there that when the Lord Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, but we see as he compares the Spirit to wind, we discover some things about him. Let's look at three that we see. The first one is that the Spirit, like the wind, is sovereign. Jesus said, the wind bloweth where it listeth. We don't generally use the word listeth today, but that word means where you want or where it wants. So the wind blows where it wants. And I don't think any of us would argue with that fact. We all know that if the wind's blowing from the north and we want it to blow from the south, we can tell it to change, we can yell at it, we can pray to it, but it's going to do what it wants. We can't make the wind change and blow in the direction that we want it to blow. We don't have control over the wind, neither do we have control over the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus is telling us. He will blow, he will work as he wants, just like the wind blows. Now, having said that, a person can learn how the wind blows and how it acts and then bring themselves into harmony with the wind so that that wind can help them fulfill their purposes. For example, sailors out on the sea, they bring themselves into harmony with the wind and the wind can take them places. If you've been to the trip to Sydney, driving there, you'll see those huge big wind turbines. I'm not sure exactly where it is, but it's up a fair north, and these things are, they're massive. I don't know how high they are, but they're very high, and they are turned by the wind. Now, the people that put them there, they didn't think, well, we're just going to stick them here and we're just going to make the wind blow them. Now, they obviously studied where was a very windy place, and they studied which direction the wind blew, and then they set those things up in the perfect spot so that they could use the wind to create, turn these turbines and create electricity. And so you could say in a roundabout way, they acknowledged they couldn't change the wind, but they submitted to the wind and worked in harmony with the wind so it would help them. And sailors have been doing that for a long time. And it's the same with the Holy Spirit. He's sovereign. We can't tell him what to do. But we can learn how he works and how he moves. And then we can be in harmony with him and allow him to fulfill his purposes through us. And I pity the person who tries to fight against the Spirit of God. You know, many sailors have met their doom because they've tried to take on the wind. And there have been many Christians whose life have become shipwrecked because they chose to go in a different direction to where the wind was blowing them or trying to lead them. God says, I want you to go this way, and the Spirit of God is trying to move them in that direction, but they, in ignorance or stubbornness, thinking that they can outdo the wind, decide to go an opposite direction, and always when that takes place, there's going to be some sort of carnage. And it's never nice. not with physical wind and not when it comes to the wind of God as well. And the lesson to learn is if God's trying to get you to go in a certain direction and the Holy Spirit is leading you in those ways, don't try and fight against Him. Yield and submit and allow Him to do wonderful things through you. Because like the wind, the Holy Spirit will blow where it wants. And we can't fight against Him. That's the first thing that Jesus said in a roundabout way. Second thing, the Spirit, like the wind, is invisible, but very real. Jesus says, "And thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth." So Jesus says, you hear the sound of the wind, but you don't know where it goes and where it comes from and where it goes. You don't see it, but you know it's there. And I don't need to explain that to you. We see the wind at work when it blows the trees. We see sailors using the wind and so on, but we never see it. But we do see the effects that it has. And that's the same with the Spirit of God. No one's seen Him, but we should be able to see that He's at work. And that's the major question that all of us need to ask ourselves. And that is, have we seen the Spirit of God at work in us? He is a real person and He dwells within a believer. And so we should be able to see evidence of Him in our life. Have we seen Him moving us in the direction of Christ-likeness? Have we felt that heavy hand of conviction when we've ignored Him? Have we experienced that gale force wind of chastisement when we have chosen to disobey Him? He should be at work in you if you are a child of God. But we also discover that He is mysterious like the wind. As Jesus said, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. Just like the wind and the Holy Spirit, you can't know where it comes from and you don't know where it's going. You know, we know that with wind. You hear people where they say that it was just still, there was no wind, and then all of a sudden this big gust of wind picks up and destroys some building or whatever it may be. We had that experience at our place last year when I was at church on Sunday night. Nice evening, and then the wind came. Just out of nowhere, the neighbour said, picked up our trampoline and threw it over the neighbour's fence, and thankfully didn't land on their car or anywhere, but it just threw up a big trampoline. And don't know where it came from. Came and then went. And some may find that exciting. I don't quite find that exciting, but what I do find exciting is when the Holy Spirit takes hold of a person or a family or a church, even more so a country, and He picks them up and shakes them and does wonderful things and change them. It's wonderful when the Holy Spirit starts to do a work in somebody or in a church or in a family. And that's something that we should be wanting to have happen in our lives, that the Holy Spirit, He's starting to do a work. We don't know why it started and we don't know where it's going to end, but it's exciting to be in the midst of that wind that's blowing through. We need to be praying that God will do that here. You know, we don't know why He chooses to do these things at times, but we do know that generally it starts by prayer. When people gather together and pray and ask God to do wonderful things, that's when God, the Holy Spirit, starts to blow that wind of revival. And you should be praying that God will do that in your life. Pray He'll do it in your family. Pray He'll do it in this church. I'm thankful for those who are able to come and pray to God that He will do something here. I want God, as the Word of God says, that His eyes run to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking to show Himself mighty on behalf of those who love Him. I want Him, to, as He running His eyes to and fro, to see our little church and see us diligently praying that He will do a wonderful thing for us. But it's mysterious. Well, no one can turn Him on like a hot tap. That those who think, well, we can just turn the Holy Spirit on when we want Him and then turn Him off when we don't, They don't understand the Holy Spirit. We don't have that control over Him. We need to beg Him to show Himself mighty. And so He's mysterious. And I'm sure there's other things we can extract from this little time that Jesus spent with Nicodemus, but we won't do it. But they are three things that we learn about the Holy Spirit just from that time when Jesus spoke, when comparing Him to the wind. Now, another name is the Spirit of Christ. In Romans 8, verse 9, we read, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." So here the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Christ. Now, when it's talking here, it's not saying that people must have a Christ-like spirit. That's what it's not referring to when it says the Spirit of Christ. This is a name when referring to the Holy Spirit. We must have the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, dwelling within us. But why is He referred to as the Spirit of Christ? There's a couple of reasons I can think of. First one is because He is Christ's gift to us. It says in John chapter 20, verse 21 and 22, "Then said Jesus to them, Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when He had said this, He breathed on them and said unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost." The Holy Spirit is not just the breath of God the Father, but He is the breath of God the Son as well. And Christ imparts the Holy Spirit to us. As we read in Matthew 3:11, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance." This is John the Baptist speaking. "But he that cometh after me is mightier than me, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." John chapter 7, when Jesus was at the feast, He beckoned all who were thirsty to come and drink of Him, and He will give them living waters. And we're told that He's referring to the Holy Spirit. This is the gift the Lord Jesus gives. So, firstly, the reason why He's called the Spirit of Christ is because He is a gift from Christ. But it goes further than that, because we also know that because it is the work of the Holy Spirit to reveal Christ to us. Let me read these verses from John. It says in chapter 16, verse 13, "Howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you." Verse 26, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of Me." So Jesus makes it very clear here that the Holy Spirit will bear witness of Him, that is, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit's job isn't to promote Himself. The Spirit's job is to promote and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's good for us to remember, because this is a good way of knowing if the Spirit of God is at work in something or not. Because when the Spirit of God is at work in something, we will know that He will be glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ. When Christ the Son is glorified, when people are talking about the Lord Jesus and are thankful for the Lord Jesus, understanding what the Lord Jesus has done for them, you can be sure that the Holy Spirit is the one at work. He won't be glorifying Himself. And there are too many ministries today that say that they are Christian, but sadly they testify, or it is focused entirely on the Holy Spirit, where it's the Holy Spirit that is talked about. It is the Holy Spirit who is prayed to. It is the Holy Spirit who is magnified in their midst. They're drawing people and telling them to seek out the Holy Spirit. That's a very good sign that that's not the Holy Spirit behind that. Because when the Holy Spirit is at work, He will draw people to the Son. He will magnify the Savior, not Himself. And so be very wary when someone starts magnifying the Holy Spirit in that way. But for us, we see that the Holy Spirit's work is to help us to grow in the knowledge of Christ. He is going to help us to know Jesus better. That's part of His work. As we read the Word, as we hear the Word, as we think about the Word, the Holy Spirit will take the Word of God and He will show us how wonderful our Savior is. Part of His work is to illuminate us and reveal Christ to us. And that's good news, I think. I don't profess myself to be anything of real of any great intelligence. I don't know where you put yourself in the intelligence run of things. But the good news is we have divine help to understand the Word of God and to understand the great mysteries of Christ. It's not something we have to work out ourselves. We have divine help in the Holy Spirit to help us to know what He's like. That's another responsibility of the Holy Spirit, and that's why He's called the Spirit of Christ. But it goes one step further than this, and that is, because it's His work to form Christ. Have I made a spelling mistake? No. Okay. Usually she starts laughing when I've made a spelling mistake. That's what wives are for, man. Just keep you on your toes and help you. Sorry, I'm getting off track now. Because His work is from Christ to form Christ within us. Ephesians 3:16 and 17. That He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. One of the responsibilities of the Holy Spirit is to cause Christ to dwell in us richly. That is to form us into the image of Christ. As He transforms our mind and our soul and our spirit into the image of Christ, just like He formed that literal and physical Christ in the womb of Mary, spiritually He forms Christ within us. So that once our mind and spirit is formed or being formed into the image of Christ, then our actions and our words and so on starts to reflect Christ as well. That's His responsibility. I guess you can call it spiritual cloning. Sadly, the problem is, though, that often we hinder the work that the Holy Spirit has or wants to do in us. I thought straight away when I was thinking about that is, for those who have watched those TV shows about hoarders, you go into some houses and people have hoarded things, just junk for years, and their house is just full of rubbish and junk. And it's disgusting and it stinks. And so the family are worried about the owner, their parent generally it is, and so they get someone to help them clean up this house and so it's not so filthy. And so the expert comes in and says, okay, well, we've definitely got to get rid of this. And the hoarder straight away goes, no, I can't go without all this empty dog cans, you know. I love them so much. I might need them sometime. And so they have to fight with them to get rid of these smelly old empty dog cans. And then they move on to something else and they don't want to let go of that as well. And they have to fight over every little thing in that house. You come back at the end of the day and they've hardly cleaned out anything because they've spent so much time fighting with that hoarder who wants to keep all their rubbish. And isn't that how we often work with act when it comes to the work the Holy Spirit wants to do in us? He says, well, if you want to be like Christ, this definitely has to go. And we cling to it and we hug it. Oh no, I love this. I can't let this go. Surely not this. And we fight and there's a tug of war until he finally gets rid of it. And then he points out something else. Well, this definitely has to go. And the whole process starts again where we fight and we battle with the Holy Spirit as he tries to form us or fashion us into the image of Christ, and we want to keep all the junk. And some Christians, they fight. This fight goes on for years. For some, it goes on for their entire life, where they're always fighting against the work that the Spirit of God wants to do in their life. And they never get to that place where the Spirit of God would want them to be. They're never that image that they could have been, because they fought over everything that the Holy Spirit wanted them to do. I wonder, are you a hoarder? We're all hoarders of sin. We're good at that. But are we so deceived by the sin that we think it's good and we don't want to get rid of it? Well, the Holy Spirit's called the Spirit of Christ because he has been sent to form Christ in us. Now, he's not only the Spirit of Christ, he is also, funny this, the Holy Spirit. Probably could have started, the reason why I didn't go from Spirit to Holy Spirit is because there's another name after this, but it's probably a little bit out of order. But this is obviously the most familiar one, particularly that we're used to. And I could pick many verses, but this one, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And the emphasis here with this name is the moral character of the Spirit. That is, he is holy. He doesn't have to work at being holy. He is holy. This reveals or explains his character. And the sad thing is, although we all know very well that he is called the Holy Spirit, I wonder how often we truly reflect on the fact that he is holy and then allow that to change our lives. How often do you stop and think, I have the Holy Spirit dwelling within me? Not the nearly Holy Spirit or sort of Holy Spirit like we're content to be, but we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. I wonder if you've stopped to think how often you grieve the Holy Spirit because of what he is forced to endure as he dwells within you. By what you look at, what you listen to, what you say, what you think. I wonder how grieved he is with many in the way they endeavor to worship the Holy Spirit. Foolishly thinking that a holy God would be happy with that type of worship. You know, the Holy Spirit is holy. That's what the name means. And so if we want to come before him, and please him, it must be in line with his character. And his character is holiness. But there's another word, another name given to the Holy Spirit that you might think is the same, but that is the Spirit of Holiness. It says there in Romans chapter 1 verse 4, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of Holiness by the resurrection from the dead. You know, the Holy Spirit is also referred to as the Spirit of Holiness. At first glance, you might think that's the same thing, interchangeable. Holy Spirit, Spirit of Holiness. But they are very different. As I said, the Holy Spirit name refers to his character. He is holy. The Spirit of Holiness refers to what he wants to do in us. He is someone that makes others holy. That is his job and responsibility. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, it says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification or through making holy of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. See, when the Holy Spirit dwells within us, He goes about perfecting holiness. And this is a very good thing to remember. Or this is like discovering things about your body that you never knew before. Wow, thank you, God. You see, we can be so caught up sometimes trying to be holy or trying to become holy. I want to be holy because God says I need to be holy. But we discover here that the work of making us holy isn't our job. It is the job of the Holy Spirit's. Now, sure, there are certain things that we need to be doing. We have certain responsibilities in order for Him to do His job. But the actual job of making us holy is the Holy Spirit's responsibility. That should bring a lot of relief. Whew. Okay, I don't have to do that, but that's the Holy Spirit's job. It's a bit like your liver. When I Googled it, I discovered that what livers, I'm sure everyone knows that I'm just dumb, but livers, one part, it has a lot of jobs, but one of them is to clean out your blood. Amazing. I'm sure all the nurses know this already, but it takes away all the yucky stuff from your blood. Isn't that amazing? I'm 46 and I just discovered that. All right? It probably does. I hope I read the right thing, but anyway. But the reality is I can't make my blood clean just by wanting it to be clean. I can't say, well, start making me clean. I'm going to make my blood clean. Now, God has given me a liver to do that. And I'm very thankful because I know if it wasn't there, I'd be very sick or dead. And just like with the liver, we can't make ourselves holy. But God has not given us a liver, He has given us the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of holiness, in order to make us holy. And so we don't have to do that job as well. We don't have to do that job ourselves. I'd hate to think how unholy I would be without the Holy Spirit or the Spirit of holiness. Because I don't feel very holy now with the Spirit of holiness. So I'd hate to think what I would be like without Him. And we need to realize that He's, if you're truly born again, He's been at work purifying you and making you holy. And that's a blessing. You know, but it also should make us realize that when we see the unsaved who don't have the Spirit of holiness at work in them, it should make us realize we shouldn't be alarmed when we see how unholy they are. And how godless they are. They don't have the Spirit of holiness at work cleansing them and fashioning them into the image of Christ. And so it shouldn't bring an alarm to us when we see the way that they live. But we can rejoice that we have been given that Spirit of holiness. All we have to do is submit to what the Holy Spirit wants to do in our life. And hoist up the sails and go in the same direction as He wants us to go, and we will see Him do wonderful things in our life when we allow the Holy Wind to transform us and make us holy. And so He is also the Spirit of holiness. And I think we'll leave it there. And we'll look at some other names next week. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Thank You that He does these things or has been doing these things the day we trusted Christ as our Saviour. Lord, we thank You for it. I pray that, Lord, we would be in tune with the Spirit as He seeks to work in our life. That we won't resist the Holy Spirit and fight against Him. But Lord, submit to His way for our life. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.